Today we're going to finish up The Great I Am. Legend has it, or rumor has it, that Ernie Hemingway, he was challenged to write a story in just 6 words. Anybody ever heard that before? Listen to this. This is the story that he wrote. For sale, baby shoes, never worn. What an amazing story, just in 6 words. In 2006, Myth Magazine, it offered its readers the opportunity to write a 6-word memoir. And then in 2008, there was a surprised best-selling book. It was entitled, Not Quite What I Had Planned, 6-word memoirs by writers famous and obscure. Now, if you're counting along or following, the very first 6 letters of the title, Not Quite What I Had Planned, is 6 words there. The book essentially asked people to sum up their lives in 6 words. Stephen Colbert, he wrote, well, I thought it was funny. A writer from USA Today who reviewed the book kind of offered their own statement and said, Dad was Santa, downhill from there. Someone wrote, followed Yellow Brick Road, disappointment ensued. Another person commented and said, should have risked asking. He sighed. I'll go through just a couple more. I was born, some assembly required. Maybe you can relate to that. On her birthday, my life began. She kissed me and said yes. Now, I have a whole list of them, and they've actually put out several editions of the book since then. We're not going to go into all of them. But the author of the book apparently never asked Jesus for his reply. But if they had, Jesus might have replied like this, I am the Alpha and Omega. You see, that 6-word statement, it literally sums up Jesus' life. Alpha, it was the very first letter in the Greek alphabet, and Omega, it was the very last. Jesus, in Revelation chapter 22 at verse 13, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read through it. It's going to be quick. It's one real quick verse. You're going to stand up, sit down. It reads like this. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Thank you. You may be seated, and may God bless the reading of His holy word. Now, this statement by Jesus here in our scripture this morning is the very last I am statement that He makes in scripture. You may remember from last week that the statements that Jesus makes when He says I am is ego oeme, which means I am, and He was basically claiming to be God. And this is His very last statement. It's exactly how the Bible presents Jesus to us. Jesus, He was literally the beginning of all things. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, it says that Jesus is before all things. In the Gospel of John, it describes Jesus as the Word. And the book begins in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, in the beginning was the Word. So in the beginning was Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. And so Jesus is the beginning of all things. And Jesus, He will literally be the end of all things. The very last words in the book of Revelation, which is the very last book of the Bible, the very last words are these in Revelation 22, verses 20 and 21. It says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. And that's how the book closes. And that's all real cool and stuff like that. But what does it mean to us? What does it mean to those of us who are here somewhere between the beginning and the end? We're in the middle of this here somewhere. What does it mean that Jesus is the beginning and the end, that He is the Alpha and the Omega, that He is the first and that He is the last? Well, it reminds us again that Jesus is indeed God. The terminology that is used in Revelation 22 is the exact that is used in other places in Scripture to describe God. If you Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, God declares, I am the first and the last. In Psalms chapter 90, verse 2, it states, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. In the very first chapter of Revelation, we find these words in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. See, Jesus is between the beginning and the end. His story makes its way through Scripture. His story makes its way through our lives. It is a common thread and it interweaves its way through there. And so for Jesus to claim to be the Alpha and the Omega was for him to declare that he was God in the flesh. And because he was God, because he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, he is in control. Because he literally has me surrounded. He literally has each one of you surrounded. And because he is before and behind, and because he is all around us, it makes it so that we can trust him. And we don't have to be afraid. There were several pastors who were having a discussion a year ago, and they were talking about this lockdown. And you may remember a year ago when this whole thing started. And there's a lot of fear. There was a lot of apprehension about everything that was going on. We didn't understand this pandemic. We didn't understand this virus. And there's a lot of fear. And we were locked down here when people couldn't even come to church. And they're talking about how people have these fears, and these fears are very real. There are still people who will not come to church because the virus is out there. Some of them understand it is needed because of health issues, and they have to stay away. But we have these fears of this virus. And these pastors were talking about that and trying to figure out what they were going to do and how to calm people's fears. But you see, God, he has things under control, even when it doesn't seem like it. And because of that, we don't have to be afraid. That's the kind of faith that David had. If you go back in the Old Testament, Psalm chapter 17, verses 6 through 9, listen to these words. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who do me violence, my deadly enemies who surround me. Notice that David, he faced some very real dangers. He faced real enemies. He faced the real possibility of death more than once. And yet he still believed that God had things under control and that he could trust God. And that's how we need to view Jesus. Because Jesus is God in the flesh. And so Jesus, being the Alpha and the Omega, tells us that he has things under control and that we can trust him. But you see, in addition to that, Jesus is not only the Alpha and the Omega and the beginning and the end. Jesus is my beginning and my end. He is my Alpha and my Omega. He has remade my life so that it is renewed. It has re-begun, if you will. You see, I could live my life without Jesus. I mean, I could get along quite well without him. But it wouldn't really be living as much as like simply existing. It would more be like just getting by with no real future, no real purpose. But Jesus came so that my life would be changed. And that happened so many years ago. And there's been amazing changes that he's brought into my life. And Jesus came so that your lives could be changed. When I accepted Jesus Christ and was baptized, Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it tells me that we are buried with him in baptism in his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in this newness of life. In Jesus, I have a newness. In Jesus, there is this rebornness about me, this new purpose. I have a new beginning, a new reason. There was a story that was told about a little girl who was proudly wearing a shiny, bright cross. It was around her neck with a chain. And one day this man walks up to her, this older man walks up to her, and he says, "Little girl, don't you know that the cross Jesus died on wasn't beautiful and shiny like the one that you're wearing around your neck?" He continues and says, "It was an ugly wooden thing." The little girl just stopped and she thought for a couple moments. And then she smiled and she replied, "Oh yes, I know. I know that. But they told me in Sunday school that whatever Jesus touches, he changes. And if Jesus touches your life, he can change your life." That is exactly what Jesus came to earth to do. Jesus came to change our lives, to offer us these new beginnings. But he didn't come to just change our lives, to give us these new beginnings and then walk away. One person observed that Alpha and Omega means that whatever Jesus starts, he finishes. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says that we should be looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, "He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Now, over the years, I've noticed that there are many craftsmen, there are artists out there, and they, some of them do amazing things. Some of them are willing to do things, and they get to a point in whatever it is they're doing, and they say, "That's good enough. It's not perfect, but it's good enough." If you do anything in construction, you know that framers are notorious for saying, "That's good enough. If it's off a quarter of an inch, that's good enough. They'll fix it when they're doing finish work." Yeah. But you see, Jesus, he's not like that. Jesus is kind of a perfectionist, if you will. And when he works in our lives, good enough is not good enough. Jesus will never be satisfied with simply beginning a work in us and then walking away and saying, "That's good enough, I'm done for now." Jesus is such a perfectionist that he will never stop working on us until he is satisfied, until we have become all that we can be. Some of the world's greatest artists have been much like that. Take Leonardo da Vinci, for example. Anyone know what the most expensive painting in the world is? What? Mona Lisa. Mona Lisa is the most expensive painting in the world. In the early 1900s, it was valued at over, it was insured for over $100 million. And if you calculate that out, right now it's over $800 million for the Mona Lisa. It's an amazing painting. It's in the Louvre if you want to go see it. Leonardo da Vinci, he was actually commissioned to paint that. Somebody had actually hired him to paint that as a birthday gift that they wanted to give to somebody. And if Leonardo da Vinci had simply been interested in the money, he could have painted that portrait in a month, turned the portrait over, and got the money for it. But you see, money was not the object with da Vinci. It took him over 4 years to paint that masterpiece. And scientists and people have looked at it and found out that in some areas, there are 30 different layers of paint on that painting. But why would da Vinci do that? Why would he keep adding more and more and more paint to this piece of art, this artwork? Well, he did it because he kept working it and he kept reworking it until he was pleased with the image, until it was just right. And then he loved the painting so much that he never actually gave it to the customer. He kept it for himself. You see, that's what Jesus does with us. He is constantly working and reworking us. Jesus will never quit and will never quite be done with us. Because to Jesus, you and I, we are the most valuable pieces of art in existence. He wants us to be the very best that we can be, the very best that we have been created to be. And then ultimately, he keeps us for himself because he loves us so very much. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it tells us that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. But see, lastly, Jesus is not just my Alpha. He is my Omega. He's not just my beginning. He is my end. The completion of my existence. In other words, ultimately, we will be finished one day. We will be a finished product. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27, it says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Now, there are some people who have some difficulty understanding what that scripture means right there. Many of them believe that the finished product is based upon their own righteousness. But that's not what's said here. The passage in Ephesians 5 says that Jesus gave himself up for the church. Jesus sanctified her. Jesus cleansed her. He did the work, not us. See, you cannot buy a ticket to get into heaven because of your own sinlessness, because of your righteousness, because it doesn't exist. Many of us, as we go through life, we want to kind of judge or figure out how good or how bad we are based on other people. We look at other people and say, am I better or worse than them? But that's not what our measuring stick should be. That's not what we should be doing. There's a parable that Jesus told one day. He told about two men who came into the temple to pray. One of them was a Pharisee. The Pharisee who is the very epitome of holiness, of righteousness. And the other was a tax collector. The tax collector was the lowest rung of the moral ladder. Jesus said that the Pharisee stood in there and he prayed this way. He said, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tithe of everything I get. In other words, the Pharisee stood in the sanctuary, in the temple, and bragged to God about how he had never sinned as much as that tax collector. And then Jesus went on and he said that the tax collector prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man, speaking of the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Here's the deal. Here's the bottom line for us. You and I will never be able to get into heaven because of how righteous we are. We are only going to get into heaven because of how righteous Jesus is. He's the one that's done all the work. You see, it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the subject. And if Jesus is not your Alpha and Omega, if Jesus is not your beginning and your end, if Jesus is not your first and your last, then you will not make it through those gates. You see, to depend on your own goodness, to depend on your own righteousness, it's a fool's game because it doesn't exist. Scripture says our righteousness will be like filthy rags unless we are washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we do that by believing that he is the Son of the living God, that he is our Alpha and our Omega. We do that by acknowledging it is only by his righteousness. It is by what he's done. Because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And because of that, we need to submit to Jesus. Repent from our old ways and say we want to follow after him, we want to serve after him. Allow him to be our Lord and our Master. Because you see, Jesus, he needs to be our beginning. And he needs to be our end. The thing that we are striving the most to follow after. The one that we want to be like and to follow him. Is he your beginning? Is he your end?